appreciate the opportunity that's afforded me from time to time to open the Word of God. I always take that very seriously. I'm fully aware that there will come a day I will personally stand face to face with Yeshua and give an account for what I say this morning. So I don't come to this in kind of a slipshod fashion. And yet, God has placed within me a certain burden for the Word of God and a certain boldness, because you know there's times I say some things that sort of make you have to think, right? And that's good. We need to think. The message that the Holy Spirit has put upon my heart, I had to double check with Him. When He did, I thought, hey, is that really where you want me to go? And then I've been kicking this thing around for quite some time, because you can always pick a different theme out of a text. And I like to kind of limit a text down so that we're working with just its particular aspect to it. And this morning that probably won't happen. So we're going to try to work around the theme of this courageous father in John chapter 4. But there's a number of things that I want to try to pull out of this. So if you have your Bibles, which I pray to God you do, go to, or your iPads or whatever. I ask the young people to be sure and bring their Bibles when I teach, because we're all over. And so some of them come in with their electronic things, you know, and they're punching everything. I say, it works, so it's all right. John chapter 4 and verse 46 through 54 is what we're going to look at. And I'll just give you some of the biases that I'm working with, okay? Because it's always important when you listen to a speaker that you understand some of the things, underlying things that are influencing the way he's teaching. And that's something I always listen for when I listen to a teacher. I can listen to someone, it doesn't take very long, I can say that's covenant theology, that's dispensationalism, you know, thus. It helps me to be able to understand and interpret and listen, and whether or not I'm going to accept what they're saying, actually. So it's important that you keep a finger on the text, read it with me, think about it, be engaged this morning, because God's Word is forever, ever settled in heaven. It's an eternal Word, and He has a message for you this morning. And the exact message I deliver, He may go just a little bit off what I'm saying to say something to you. I'm amazed as I interact with people after I've spoken, and they say, boy, this really touched my heart. And I said, did we even talk about that? See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to minister the Word of God. So I'm just asking that you'll open your hearts and open your minds to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to trust me or believe everything I say, but trust the Holy Spirit and believe what He says. And look at the Word and interact with the Word. So I'm going to read the text, and then we're going to set the setting, and then we're going to look at it. Oh, I was going to give you some of my biases. Let me do that. Number one, the royal official of this text is a hero to me. I think he's a hero. As I studied this, I said, boy, there's a man that's a hero. My second bias that I come from is in regards to faith. And you've heard me say this before. I don't believe the concept of little and much is really a good one. Because we think in quantity. We think we have, you know, 1 pound of faith and somebody else has 10 pounds of faith. And I think that's a wrong concept. We need to think in terms of mature, immature, timid, bold, concepts like that. And you can have a bold faith in one area and have a timid faith in another area. See, this is not all exclusive. It's not like, well, I'm just bold in my faith and therefore I'm bold in everything. No, that's just not the way it works. And God is always ready to move us on in regards to maturing our faith. He wants to put those roots deeper and deeper into himself. And so that's why the winds of adversity blow to make that happen. Okay, let's begin reading. I'm going to back it up one verse to 45 because that gives us some, I think, important information. So when he, that's Yeshua, came out of Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. He came therefore to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Yeshua had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Yeshua therefore said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Yeshua said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." The man believed the word that Yeshua spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Yeshua said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Yeshua performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So let's just get a little bit of the historical setting. Yeshua has been ministering in Judea, and lots of opposition. He decides to leave. He's on his way up north. And he goes through Samaria. We have the whole story of the Samaritan woman, which you're all quite familiar with. He spends a couple of days there at Sychar. He moves on, and he ends up at Cana of Galilee. If you can envision the map of Israel, you have the Sea of Galilee, and almost to the center, a little west, not quite center, but just a little west at the northern end is Capernaum. And then if you go west of there, 20 miles, is Cana of Galilee. And it's also up 3,000 feet. It's up higher. So when this man says, "Will you come down to Capernaum?" He meant down. You're traveling 20 miles, but you're going down. Verse 45 gives us a general statement that Yeshua was welcome in this area. And the reason is because they had seen the signs. We don't know what they were. They're talked about in John chapter 2 and verse 23. We don't know exactly what signs he performed. He did some miracles there in Jerusalem. And they had seen it, and it had impacted them. Now, in regards to the royal official, we're not told if he was a Jew or a Gentile. It's highly unlikely that he was Jewish. It's not impossible, but highly unlikely that a Jewish man would be in this position in the royal court. Whether Jew or Gentile, he was a man of leadership and authority. So ethnicity is probably not a big part of this. I believe he was a Gentile, personally. So that colors a little bit how I interpret this. He was a man of timid faith. And we know that from the standpoint of what Yeshua said to him in verse 48. And I'll just point out, he said to him, unless he spoke to him, the royal official, and then he goes plural on us, unless you, second person plural. So he broadens it out to the crowd, unless you see these signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, whenever you see this, you need to be thinking in these terms. What is it that he's wanting to challenge them in? And I propose that what he's wanting to challenge them about is the fact that he's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. This man believed that Yeshua could heal his son or he wouldn't have been there. It's not about that, although it was still timid. It's about the Lord moving him on from there. Now, I also believe, even though he has a timid faith, he has a courageous heart. I think this man had tremendous courage. That's why he's my hero. So let's look at that. First of all, let me just give you a real simple definition of courage. It comes out of the dictionary. It's mental or moral strength. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand. And then three things: danger, fear, or difficulty. And boy, I see that in this text. He was that kind of a man. And so I looked for action verbs, and I found three that would depict the fact that he was willing to venture, and one of them he was willing to withstand. And here they are. Verse 47, he went. Verse 47 and 48, he asked. And then in verse 50, he started off. And we'll set that in context as we go through it. So we find that this man, this royal official, his son is quite ill. And he had heard that Yeshua had come out of Judea and had gone into Galilee. Some unidentified person or persons had told him. We don't know who it is or who they were, whether it was plural or singular. But what an important message they brought. The scene is that his son's very ill, to the point that the fever is killing him. I'm assuming the fact he's a royal official, he had access to various kinds of opportunities for medications to help and whatever was available at that time, and they'd exhausted everything. And so now they're waiting. How long will he live before the fever finally kills him? And it's in this context that this message comes, that Yeshua has come out of Judea and is now up in Galilee. He's within reach. 20 miles, you know, that's within reach. And so this particular man, having received what I would call a strategic word, and it'll be good, I hope someday we can find this person or persons. I don't know if when we get into the millennial kingdom, if there'll be signs people will have. You know, I was this anonymous person in John 4, or, you know, so that we can talk to them. You know, I hope something like that's there. Maybe it'll just all be on the internet and we'll Google it and we'll find out who it is. So he receives this important word and he responds to it. So he has a timid faith. And so the question is, where did that come from? It has come to his life as a result of what God's been doing in this man's heart. We don't know who, what, we don't know anything about it, other than we can confidently say that God has been moving on this royal official's heart already. But he's not done with him. He's got more to do. And so this life-important mission is one that he's going to go on. And so even though his faith is weak, it enables him to have the right object. He could have gone a lot of different directions. Romans had a plethora of gods. He could have picked out one of those and went there. But no, even though his faith was timid, it pointed him in the right direction. He's headed to where Yeshua is. See? But faith has a traveling companion, courage. And so courage gives him the stamina. If we're going to just use this definition, the mental and moral strength, to go ahead and saddle, and I think as a royal official, he probably had a horse or a camel, probably a horse. He saddles up and he goes. He doesn't send a servant. This mission is too important. We're not sending servants. I'm going. My son's life hangs in the balance. And so he goes in the right direction because of his timid faith. He goes. He went because he's a courageous man. He's a man who's willing to stand for his family. He's a man that isn't counting the cost. He isn't asking who will think what. What will the neighbors think? He's not worried about any of that. He's not worried about his position. He's concerned for one person only. his son. Well, after he gets there, in verse 47, he arrives, and he immediately, my translation says, requests. Some of you say ask. It's an interesting word. It has quite a range, but the Greek word carries the idea of intensity. This isn't casual. He doesn't come up to Yeshua and he's visiting about how his golf game's going. And he says, by the way, when you finish up that last 18, you want to pop down to Capernaum and heal my son? It isn't casual. This is intense. And this word could be translated beg. Now, I don't think in this context that's what it is. I think the idea of entreat is probably pretty close. But you catch the idea. He's passionate about this. And so he says, come down and heal my son. And I want you to know what the circumstances are because he's going to die. It isn't about he's got a sliver. He's got a fever and it's killing him. And so Yeshua takes the opportunity. Verse 48. It's really an interesting verse. In light of the fact that the discussion is about this son who's ill and so forth. And Yeshua therefore said to him. See, Yeshua knows he has a timid faith because the Holy Spirit has been developing that. And so he wants to see it advanced. And so he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And I think he's pointing out, see, you could read this several different ways. We can focus on the fact he had a timid faith. We could focus on the fact that the Lord is wanting to move him on to something else. And he may even be saying, I'm about ready to show you a sign that's going to blow your socks off. See, we usually read it real negative. I'm not so positive that's what it is. See, God went about in Yeshua, as God incarnate in the flesh, doing all kinds of signs and wonders. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And some of you have, and that's fine. Yeshua chided people after they saw signs and wonders and wouldn't believe. Right? He said, even if you can't believe my words, believe because of what I'm doing, right? So this idea that signs and wonders is a bad thing, I don't think that's true. They're attesting signs and wonders. They affirm, they confirm what it is that Yeshua is claiming to be as the Messiah. So he's addressing the weak faith, and I'm sure the royal official, he heard him. But he said, you know, that's not the main point here. Because right away after that, he goes ahead and says to him, in verse 49, the royal official said to him, sir, come down before. Now it isn't son. It's not huios, son. It's partion, child, little child, actually. Come down before my little child. That's in the grip of death is overcome by that grip. I can hear this dad. I can hear him. So he went and he asked, and then verse 50. Verse 50 is the turning point. The turning point in the whole thing. Yeshua said to him, go your way. Your son lives. Go your way. You have your request. I'm not going with you. You go your way because your son lives. And now he has to make a choice. Courage had gotten him there. Faith, even though timid, had brought him to the right person. But now he has a crisis in the decision he's going to make. Because this is part of God's marvelous plan. Faith is demonstrated and increased in the sense of matured by obedience, our response to God. And so Yeshua is put right smack dab in front of him the opportunity to respond. And if he does, his heart will be forever changed. And if he doesn't, his heart will be forever calloused, I think. Because this is a major turning point. Praise God that he responded. And it says, the man believed the word that Yeshua spoke to him. He believed the word. He said, if you say it, I'm going to believe it. Now, he needs confirmation. So he starts off. Now there's a debate of what time it is. It's the seventh hour. If it's Roman time, it's 7 p.m. If it's Jewish time, it's 1 p.m. So we don't know what time it was for sure. But it's in the afternoon. So he starts out. It isn't until the next day he meets his servants, so I don't know if he spent the night someplace. You know, we don't need to know that, or the Lord would have told us. So he starts out, but there's this sense of kind of nagging doubt that grips him. And part of that is because he hasn't had enough experience yet with the Lord to have that settled confidence. But that's coming. That's coming. And so he travels and he meets his slaves this next day. And he inquires of them the hour, so he wants to know, when he began to get better. And they said to him, I'm at verse 52, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The fever broke. And now we know he's on the mend. And then we find, I bypassed the third point. Sorry. Verse 50 started out. Courage. Working off the theme of courage. He went there. He inquired, but he had the courage to go ahead and start out. Because of the decision he made and the fact that his faith is being demonstrated and is maturing, it's growing, but also courage. Because even though in the midst of some doubts, he starts out. He didn't say, you've got to come. He didn't say, I've traveled a long way and it's important that you go with me. I can't just accept that you've said it. No, he was willing to go ahead and do that. And then he takes off. So he starts out, meets the servants, and they tell him what it is that has happened. And so, verse 53. So the father knew. Something happened in his heart. He took a step of faith. In the midst of that step, there's doubt. And then comes reassurance, and now the doubt's gone. It will really be interesting to meet the priests who first put their feet into the Jordan River flood stage when they're ready to go into the promised land. I think I would have been ready to retire as a priest about that time when they said, the lot has fallen to you, you get the ark, and you guys head into the water. Now, you might have timid faith. I don't know if they did or not. Text doesn't say. But I know this. When they put their foot in there and the water stopped, you could have heard the hallelujahs for 100 miles. Because guess who was going to be the first ones to drown if the water didn't stop? The priest. Besides that, if you didn't drown, you'd have got trampled because the army's coming. Because they're all saying the water, God's going to do it. And that's what happened to this man. He knew. And I think it moved beyond knowing that Yeshua is a great healer. He knew that this attesting sign supported the great truth that this one, as the disciples said, we found him whom Moses and the prophets have talked about. Yeshua of Nazareth. He's Mashiach. And it says that this man believed, And not only himself, but his whole household. And so here's what happened. Because this man was courageous and he was willing to take a timid faith and act upon that, a great blessing came. First of all, his son's healed. But a greater blessing than that even, his family is healed. His whole family's impacted. It says that he believes and his whole family believes. I think they believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Savior, the promised one. And as a result of that, redemption comes to this household. And most likely to the servants as well. Won't it be exciting? You'll see somebody and say, well, you were in the first century? What was going on? How did you come to know the Lord? He said, well, my master was this royal official. Tell me no more. I know the story. I know how it happened. And there may be a bunch like that. I'd like to conclude with this concept. Take what you have and do the right thing. I think too often we're waiting until God has completed something before we launch out. And God is in the process of maturing and bringing us to completion as we're moving with Him. So we don't have to wait. It's not about I can't do it. This dad said, I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the father. That's my son. I'm responsible. How's it all going to work out? I don't know, but I've got to try. You see? There's a concept that's kicked around. You may be familiar with it. But this man stepped up to the plate because of the courage he had in his heart. And when it was all said and done, redemption came to his heart. Don't we serve an amazing God in the way that He works these things out? Lastly, listen to what Yeshua is telling you concerning the key point of what he's trying to deal with. That was back in 48. The discussion's about the son that's dying, but the key point is about, am I the Messiah? And both were answered, and the family was singing praises to God from then on. Amen.